This is the Hoosier Ag Today morning podcast on Tuesday, the 28th of January, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank, the Hat Podcast, brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online, ffbt.com, to learn more. Eric Pfeiffer and C.J. Miller are here today, too, with the news, including an update on the bird flu virus here in Indiana. And USMCA is up for review, and we will have that update from the American Farm Bureau annual convention. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin expects another day of sunshine and continued normalization of temperatures. And the grain and oil seed markets again sold off yesterday. John's Anchor is here with market commentary on the Hat Tuesday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
Attention farmers, a big part of the Keystone Cooperative Advantage is reinvesting in the business to better serve farmers. Members. To support this effort, they're partnering with Purple Wave Auction to sell over 150 pieces of quality equipment this January and February, including over 70 sprayers and spreaders with brands ranging from Case to John Deere and Rogator. And there's so much more selling in these auctions. Get registered today at purplewave.com.
2.8 million birds impacted by the bird flu virus in Jackson County, and the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement will soon be up for review. I'm C.J. Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. 2.8 million birds. Well, that's the flock size of a commercial egg production facility in Jackson County that's been impacted by the bird flu virus. That's according to state health officials, who would not confirm the name of the company nor give out the specific location of that facility that's been impacted. Because of the recent reports, there has been a lot of misinformation about the bird flu virus on social media.
Our poultry and egg supply remains safe.
And that's Becky Yonascon, president of the Indiana State Poultry Association. Even though at least six commercial poultry farms across Indiana have had a positive test for the virus since the beginning of the year, state health officials stress that eggs and poultry products that are currently on the grocery store shelves are still safe for you and your family to eat.
We have safeguards that are in place. We have testing 24/7, 365 days a year to detect health concerns so people can be confident in their food supply.
She says a national poultry testing program was started nearly 100 years ago to keep a different disease called Pylorum typhoid from spreading.
The National Poultry Improvement Plan started in the 1930s, partially by a Hoosier, actually. And over time, diseases that we test for and the protocols and just test methods have evolved. But the poultry industry is very engaged with and dedicated to doing all testing necessary to detect and control any disease.
As a poultry production facility receives a positive test for the virus, federal and state health officials work to depopulate and disinfect the premises before restocking of the flock can take place. That has recently caused a strain on egg and poultry supplies, leading to an increase in prices.
Prices and availability of product, it's really a simple supply and demand equation. We have had a good number of avian influenza incidents and lost parts of our flock, and so there is just less product out there to sell. So that's really where you're seeing the higher prices come. Hopefully, as that supply increases again, we'll see easing up in prices.
Read more at HoosierAgToday.com and the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app.
At Keystone Cooperative, being farmer-owned means giving back to those who make it all possible, our farmer owners. After a remarkable year in 2024, we're returning $68 million to our members through patronage, an incredible 57% of our profits. Unlike Wall Street companies, we deliver our success directly to Main Street. This is the Cooperative Advantage. This historic return benefits farmers across Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan. Keystone Cooperative, centered on you.
Well, as Farm Bureau members from around the U.S. convene this week at their national convention in San Antonio, they're learning more about the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement that will soon be up for review. Eric Pfeiffer has more.
Dave Salmonson, Senior Director of Government Affairs for Farm Bureau, shared up-to-date information on the review process during a convention workshop.
There is a built-in review process to make sure that the agreement is living up to what the three countries wanted to. So the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. Each country will start thinking about it this year, defining their goals, and really deciding, is this merely a review, look at some tweaks, how is it working, or is this going to be a real negotiation? Are there real big substantive issues that need to be changed and renegotiated?
He says the three countries will likely have many topics to discuss during the process.
I think the way things have developed, different issues, a lot of things have happened, especially in U.S.-Mexico relations. You have a lot of growing concerns about country of origin for auto parts and autos. Of course, we also have several agricultural issues that are continuing.
And Salmonson says it's important to keep an eye on the outside factors that may influence the process.
President Trump issued an executive order called the America First Trade Policy, and it's really a direction for all federal agencies to look at a variety of trade issues, but specifically on the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement. So there certainly is a opportunity and a potential that all this discussion about USMCA may not wait till 2026.
The Farm Bureau convention continues through Wednesday, and we learned yesterday that an Indiana Farm Bureau member and an Indiana company won big. And you can read more about that at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
And I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Calling all organic grain farmers. Make plans to attend the Indiana Organic Grain Farmer Meeting February 19th at the Beck Ag Center in West Lafayette. Hear from keynote speaker Dave Campbell of Lily Lake Organic Farm and connect with experts on insect ecology, organic markets, and biological amendments. Register online by searching Indiana Organic Grain Farmer Meeting or call Ashley Adair 765-496-6362. This message brought to you by Purdue Extension and the Indiana Organic Network.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. I don't have any major changes to the outlook here as we move through the morning hours. It looks like another partly to mostly sunny day here across a large part of the Hoosier State for your Tuesday. Partly sunny skies tomorrow and increasing clouds then on Thursday. Temperatures are going to react to the sunshine that's freely available the next couple of days. And so I think we slowly but surely sneak our way higher. Are we well above normal? No. Are we well above where we were last week? Absolutely. And that's one of the reasons why it feels so warm, even though we're just a little bit above normal for this time of year. Now, moving forward, the next thing that we need to pay attention to here across the Hoosier State is some rain that comes in to finish it out. Overnight Thursday night through Friday, and I think through Saturday morning at least, we're going to be seeing some on-again, off-again rains combined through the period quarter to one-inch totals. Put that together with the melt that we're continuing to see here, the thaw conditions on the ground. I think we're going to be moving into a very sloppy pattern as we finish out the week and go into the weekend. If we end up with an inch of rain or less, it's probably the amount of moisture that can be used by the soil profile, though. So I'm not too concerned. Just remember, we're moving into mud season. Now, as we get into Saturday afternoon and Sunday, we should see a mix of clouds and sun back. Temperatures don't fall off much. And then next week, Monday through, well, Friday, honestly, we end up with a warm air, cold air battle. Lots of cold Arctic air still up to the north, Canada, and, well, basically I-80 northward. You get south of I-80, there's plenty of very warm air pooling over the southern United States. I think you're going to be seeing some ebbs and flows, and that likely leads us into a little bit more active weather pattern with regard to rain activity, particularly looking midweek forward, but I'm not going to rule it out at any point next week. Most of that precipitation is going to come in the form of rain, so if we add another potential quarter to 1.5 inches combined over several days, that's going to make it even sloppier as we get toward the end of that first full week of February. So that's my focus right now. The moisture that we see, how does our soil profile handle it? I think we're definitely going to embark on mud season, but to be clear, I am not saying we're done with cold air. I think we're done with the brutal stuff like we saw last week. But next week, there's plenty of opportunity for Arctic air to break free for a day or two. It's just not going to stay long term. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
It's too good to be kept a secret. The Hoosier Ag Today email newsletter. Every weekday morning, it gives you the latest news that's important to Indiana agriculture, plus a review of the farm markets and a customized weather forecast that's just for Indiana. It's free. It's in your email box every morning. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your employees to sign up for the Hoosier Ag Today email newsletter at HoosierAgToday.com and the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app.
A sell-off to open up the new week. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Monday Farm Market Review. Lots happening in the markets. We'll have the numbers coming up, but first, analysis with John Zanker of Risk Management Commodities. I caught up with him at the end of the session. Some weakness if you look around as we open up a new week of trade, John, especially in the equity markets, but specifically the tech-led NASDAQ, extremely weak. And there was carryover weakness as we move over into crude oil, plus the grains and oil seeds lower all day long. So round it all up. I think there's plenty to talk about on your end.
Well, no matter what your position is in corn, soybeans, and wheat, Andy, it's better than being long a lot of NVIDIA stock today. That's that's some serious carnage going on over there in the NASDAQ as well. So, who would have thought we could have seen the NASDAQ down 700 points, which is, what, close to 4%? And the Dow is currently higher by 170 points. So never seen that, probably never will again, but some serious mess going on over there. So, and China is involved in that news. So China, not the biggest story in corn and beans today. You know, we had some trade stuff going on last night, and kind of a quick turnaround on that. But everybody's probably heard that a couple of deportation flights to Colombia were declined by the Colombian government, and that immediately set off some 25% tariff chatter from Mr. Trump, and then Colombia retaliated with a threat of 50% tariffs. And it wasn't too long after that that both sides decided that that wasn't a smart move on either side. So let's get this settled, and the deportation flights will go on, and that helped bounce corn and beans a little bit. But corn mainly under pressure here today from some better expected rains in Argentina, as well as some additional rains in the forecast.
Let's move over to soybeans, which have been falling. And when you take last week, which was an up and down week, but ended on a down note, and another dime loss today, looks like we're losing some ground there.
Well, you know, today, yes, we are losing some ground, but we can look at the March contract right now, down about 11, and that is 5 cents off the low. November, we are about 6 cents off the low. Given the better-than-expected rains in Argentina, some more rains expected in that forecast, more rains expected in southern Brazil as well, and export shipments, we saw a four-month low there of 26.8 million. You know, we're into that seasonal stretch here where numbers are going to fall hard, but that's a little less than expectations and probably something we should get used to. So, all things considered, I'm not terribly upset with what we're seeing in today's soybean market, but we need to be really careful in here, Andy. You know, we're going to see a huge crop in Brazil pretty much no matter what happens from this point forward. Argentina is still up for grabs, and you know, we still might be able to trim 5 million tons off that Brazilian crop, but it's going to be huge, and they're going to have more beans than they can handle still going into our fall shipment period. And that has me concerned greatly at this point.
Market commentary from John Zanker, Risk Management Commodities. John's number there is 866-837-9027. On the Hat Monday market review, the numbers down 4.5 on the March corn at the end of trade, 482. May, 492.25, losing 4.25. July off 3.75 at 493.75. 10.75 down. March beans, 1045. May, 1058.5 down 9.75. And July loses 9.25, 1070.25. And the March wheat ends at 535.5, a loss of 8.5 cents. February live cattle, on the other hand, an up day, 90 cents higher, 205.67. February lean hogs up 75 cents, 83.05. I'm Andy Eubank with the Monday Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.